Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bontigli, and you're listening to us here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Monday, May the 19th. NASCAR was in Charlotte for the first of their two-week stint with the Truck Series and the Cup Series for the All-Star Race. Nationwide was out at the Iowa Speedway yesterday. The NHRA in Atlanta postponed after one round of Top Fuel eliminations till today's, but we do have the results and we'll get to them shortly. And the starting lineup for the Indianapolis 500 is set for next Sunday's race. So let's go there, because part of Sunday's Indy 500 will lead into the Coca-Cola 600. And here's how it goes. Of course, Kurt Busch, being the NASCAR Sprint Cup driver to attempt both races, since Tony Stewart did it a few years ago. And of course, if anybody saw today in practice, Kurt hit the wall a ton, but he's okay, so they'll redo the car and get it all set to go. Ed Carpenter won his second Indy 500 pole in a row, and he'll be flanked by James Hinchcliffe and Will Power. Of course, Indy 500 starts 33 drivers, 11 rows of three as opposed to NASCAR, and 22 rows of two, actually, and one row of one. There's 43 drivers in NASCAR, so on the Sprint Cup circuit. So, row two, Elio Castroneves in the fourth spot, fifth. Simone Pagino, sixth. Marco Andretti. Row three will be Carlos Munoz, Joseph Newgarden, and J.R. Hildebrand. Of course, Hildebrand is a teammate of Ed Carpenter Racing, and Ed Carpenter, who drove for Sarah Fisher a couple of years back, went to his own team, and he will... And there's a couple cars in his stable. Row three, Juan Pablo Montoya driving for Team Penske, where he went after leaving Team Ganassi in the 42 Target Chevrolet last year. This time getting signed by Roger Penske. Seems like when one leaves one series, he gets signed by one of the drivers in another series. One of the most competitive owners, Dario Franchitti, did that after leaving Andretti Autosport, going to NASCAR to sign with Ganassi. Then when that didn't pan out, Franchitti went back to IndyCar to drive for Ganassi and stayed there until a wreck last year forced him to retire due to some serious injuries, but he's okay, but not ready to drive. So you got Juan Pablo in the 10th spot. Middle of that row will be Scotty Dixon. And outside the 4th row, then the 12th spot, listed as a rookie, Kurt Busch, driving for Andretti Autosport. So he's not driving for a bad team. Matter of fact, that's who Danica drove for before she switched to NASCAR. Of course, her old car was taken over by James Hinchcliffe. Remember when they had the GoDaddy contest and he wore the long wig? But GoDaddy decided to stay with Danica and left Andretti Autosport. But they could use her in more commercials than they could use him. So, but Kurt Busch will be starting 12th. 13th, row 5, Jack Hawksworth, 14th will be Justin Wilson for Dale Coyne Racing. 15th, Mikhail Aleshin for Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. 15th, defending Indy 500 champ Tony Kanaan, driving the Target Chip Ganassi Chevrolet, taking Frank Edie's old seat. So he went from a good team to a great team, so see if Tony can repeat. Tony also has a couple of IndyCar championships under his belt. Sebastian Bourdais is 17th, middle of the row, 6. 18th is Aurel Servier, driving for Ray Hall Letterman. Row 7, Ryan Hunter-Reay for Andretti. Graham Ray Hall for Ray Hall Letterman, who's also NHRA funny car driver Courtney Force's boyfriend. So I guess she'll be at the Indy 500 next weekend, being done one this week. And 21st, Carlos Huertas for Dale Coyne Racing. Pippa Mann, driving for Dale Coyne Racing as well. She'll be in 22nd. She is actually the only woman in the field this year. Simona DiSilvestro not running. I think she's trying to make the jump towards Formula One. Anna Beatrice not running either. 23rd, it's Takuma Sato. 24th, Alex Tagliani for Sarah Fisher Racing. So she's got two cars in the field. Of course, Takuma Sato driving for legendary four-time winner, Indy 500 winner, A.J. Foyt. Okay, back down to row 9, Townsend Bell for KV Racing. It's Tony Kanaan's old team owner, Charlie Kimball, who's driving for Novo Nordisk Chip Ganassi Racing, which is basically Chip Ganassi's just a different sponsor. And we had Charlie on the show last year. He was headed out to Mid-Ohio. And Jacques Villeneuve, driving for Sam Schmidt at Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports from 27th. Row 10, James Davidson for KVRT, KV Racing as well. That's Simona DiSilvestro's old ride as well. Her and Kanaan were teammates last year. Martin Plowman for A.J. Foyt. Ryan Briscoe for Ganassi, Chip Ganassi as well. Sage Karam starts off the inside, row 11. He's from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. The Andretti's home. He's driving for Dreyer and Reinbold. Seen them in the field and around much, so maybe they came back into the sport. Sebastian Savrada from Bogota, Colombia will drive for KV AFS Racing as well. And Buddy Lazier for Lazier Partners Racing. And that rounds out the Indy 500 field. Of course, it just makes me wonder who's going to win this weekend's race. I'm going to throw it out there if you have an idea. And you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. And now we've talked some Indy racing coming up. It's a shame there's only one female Indy driver this year, when I think the record is 4, when it was Danica, Simona, Anna, and Pippa. And at one time... Milk Gaduna was in the, running in the field as well. But she had made a switch to ARCA and hasn't, I don't think she's racing in this country this year at all. So that's the Indy 500 field. Of course, a lot of fanfare at the event. One of the biggest races in the world. Everybody wants that BorgWarner trophy, take the drink of milk at the finish line. So it's going to be interesting to see Kurt Busch fares. He qualified not too far off the pole speed at 230-plus miles an hour. Of course, pole speed was 231 and change. So it's just kind of interesting to see where he's going to wind up. And starting in a pretty good spot, 12th. Usually for a new guy coming in to run that fast in a car he's never driven. But then he is. Then again, he's one of the Busch brothers. So he, if he, so he should be able to wheel that open wheel missile around the 2.5 mile rectangle. Pretty good. And I'm going to be watching the race. It's going to be interesting watching him run that race. And you know what? I'd like to see him walk away with that trophy. Then he's got to go Charlotte and make the call for the Coke 600. So he's probably going to start at the back there because chances are he's going to miss the driver's meeting and that automatically moves you to the back of the field. They don't, NASCAR doesn't make any exceptions for that. That being said, I'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 646-649-1899. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and you're listening to Garage Talk Live. Of course, next week coming up, also in the Coca-Cola 600, NASCAR's longest race of the season, and running the 1,100 miles is no easy task for anybody. So when Kurt Busch landed the Andretti ride, I was like, does he have the stamina to go the distance? So he's already got one win for Stewart Haas Racing. So he's pretty much in the chase. He's not going to miss the race, so. But if he can pull off winning the Indy 500 and then try to win the Coke 600, if he could win both, that'd be something different. That'd be special because just the stamina level to go from 500 miles, hop on a plane for a couple hours, and jump in another car and do 600 miles, which is going to take a lot longer than the 500 miles he's going to run in Indianapolis. Now, here's the key. Weather has to be on their side, because if weather delays that race at all, then I don't know how it's going to work for the Coke 600. But we'll just have to wait and see. Of course, Tony Stewart, being someone who's done both races, and he did it a couple times, and he had top 10 finishes in both events the same day, so it's not like he's a stranger to it. The other two drivers who have pulled double duty, the first one was John Andretti, and Robbie Gordon was the next one to do that. So it's just interesting to see how NASCAR boys fare with the open wheel boys. Now, you got to realize Andretti, Stewart, and Robbie Gordon came from Indy and then went to NASCAR. Kurt Busch has never been in an Indy car, and he's going to make the trip. So the fact that he can run 230 miles an hour on a qualifying lap for something he's never been in and keep it at it all, figure that's a four-lap average for qualifying. It's not one lap and done, or with the new format now with the elimination and qualifying that they have in Sprint Cup Series this year. It's pretty good to maintain that kind of speed. Now, of course, he, like I said today, he wound up in the wall tore the car up pretty bad, but it was kind of high, and he hit the wall even. There was no head-on or back-ended in, so he had to kind of, if it was a sprint cup car, he would have just pancaked the sheet metal, but Indy car with the open wheels, he just kind of, he tore them off, but he was okay. And Andretti Autosport usually has pretty good running cars. We'll get them all set to go. He's actually, matter of fact, out of all the Andretti cars, let me pull that starting lineup back up. Out of all the Andretti cars, the only one who's actually ahead of him, actually the only two ahead of him are Hinchcliffe and Marco Andretti. So that's pretty good that he out-qualified a lot of IndyCar regulars to get a 12th spot. So, and if we know Kurt, anybody that's watched Kurt drive, he's pretty aggressive. If he maintains his composure, he's going to be able to gain a lot of ground and positions, and he should have a good finishing position for the Indy 500. I personally like to see him win. Will I pick him to win? It's hard to say. Well, we'll make our picks at the end of the show. Give me a call at 646-649-1899, and we'll be happy to discuss a few things. Whether it's Kurt running Indy or the truck race or the all-star race. Well, the all-star race, which came to pass, had the sprint showdown on Friday night. And usually that's run Saturday before the all-star race, to where the winner, the first runner-up, and the fan vote make the field. So this year the winner was Clint Bowyer, advancing him to the All-Star race. A.J. Allmendinger and the fan vote, Josh Wise. Who would have thought that somebody would beat Danica Patrick in the fan vote? So his fans must have slammed that a lot. Boost the votes for Josh to get in. We had Josh Wise on the show, and he was driving in the Nationwide Series. He was the substitute driver in the 7 car that Danica drove when she was off pulling double duty and off in the IndyCar Series. So when Danica wasn't in that car for Junior Motorsports, Josh Wise was. So we got to have him on the show, and he was driving for Over the Wall Racing. But so it was good to see him get into the Sprint All-Star race. And, of course, that was another fun thing. Was when qualifying happened for that. 3 laps. Nope. Ford had to make a pit stop. No speed limit on pit road. But a lot of drivers overshot their pits. Denny Hamlin, who was a favorite, stalled his car and had to get it refired before he can get back out there. So he wound up starting dead last just because of that. Carl Edwards wound up taking the pole. Of course, Kurt Busch had it before him, and then Jeff Gordon had it before Kyle Busch, not Kurt. And and it was amazing to see these guys come screaming down pit road, get the car stopped in the pit stall that was designated. They had certain designated pit stalls. So it wasn't like the one they'd have to use during the race. But they had to stop, change 4 tires, no fuel, and back out. Now, the thing of it is, the crew could not go over the wall until the car was stopped. So it was surprising to me when Carl Edwards did it and had a 13-second stop when everybody else was in the 14s and the 15s. But it turned out to be a fun night. A couple of different guys wound up winning the segments, but when all was said and done, Jamie McMurray became Million Dollar Back, holding off a hard charge in Kevin Harvick there. Of course, he started the last segment next to Carl Edwards, who seemed to fade a little bit. But as it wound down on that last 10-lap shootout, Jamie McMurray held off Harvick for the win and the $1 million. It was his first victory in the All-Star race, and you got to realize McMurray won some big races throughout his career. He's won the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year. So this is the first All-Star race victory for Chip Ganassi Racing with Felix Sabatis. Matt Kenseth wound up third. Good run for Dale Jr. He wound up fourth. The pole sitter, Edwards, fifth. Jimmy Johnson, sixth. Seventh was Clint Boyer. Eighth, Brian Vickers. Denny Hamlin was ninth. Brad Keselowski was 10th. Kurt Busch was 11th. Now, these are all the guys that were running. As you get towards the bottom there, a few guys crashed out, such as Joey Logano, who got caught up in Kyle Busch's wreck early on. Then it was A.J. Allmendinger, Greg Biffle, and Martin Truex. They wrecked each other and on lap 27, which was in the early part of the second segment. They ran four 20-lap segments for a total of 80 laps, and the 10-lap shootout at the end. There were seven caution flags for 12 laps. First segment, caution came out as it was the competition caution to split the end of the segment. Second caution came out in the second segment on lap 27. The third one came out on lap 32 of the second segment, and that was between Allmendinger and Brian Vickers. And then in the fourth segment on lap 62 was Biffle, Jeff Gordon, and Martin Truex Jr. wound up in a sandwich, and that kind of ended their day, with no chance of them getting back in for the final segment because of how bad the cars were wrecked. And it's not a points race, so they didn't have to get back out. Sully the field with slow movers, so they just parked it, went home, and got to enjoy the rest of it from their motor coaches. And they'll be getting ready for the 600 this Sunday night. Of course, it was a pretty fun race to watch. You know, I kind of like these segmented races for no points and just a load of money. The Moon, when we had Miss Sprint Cup Madison Martin on last week, I said, depending on how full the Moon is, but the Moon got full about Wednesday, so it was kind of more on the waning side, but there was still enough of it to get the drivers a little antsy anyway. And, of course, some people changed their paint schemes a bit for under the lights so they could sell more die casts. There were 15 cars on the lead lap, the last of those, which was Josh Wise. And Clint Clint Bowyer, who was the carryover winner from the showdown, finished seventh. And then, of course, A.J. Allmendinger got gathered up in the Kyle Busch and Joey Logano. And Brian, him and Vickers got together. Of course, Vickers was able to continue, wound up with a eighth-place finish. So it was just the fact that he was just there and got a piece of somebody and didn't wreck the car. But this coming week, back to reality and the points. And what I'm looking for is they were saying that Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick, they changed it over, had the fastest lap speed on a mile-and-a-half track. But I don't see where that's official or anybody had it. So if you want, give me a call at 646-649-1899. So get ready for the Coupe 600. And if you want to make some IndyCar picks. Now, the NHRA got off to a late start yesterday due to rain. They wound up hitting the strip at 7 o'clock last night, but they wound up waving it after one round of eliminations for the top fuel guys because what they showed on the replay, Bob Vandegrift wound up getting sideways, nearly flipping his top fuel dragster in his first round. He went up against Clay Milliken, and Milliken managed to hold on. I couldn't believe Milliken got down the track at 4.1, as bad as the track conditions were. Brittany Force wound up spinning the tires, and she wound up losing to Pat Dakin. Antron Brown managed to have a couple of good runs. He, his first round was a 3.79 versus Ike Meyer with an 8.46. Of course, Brown went on to round two with a 3.74. So he was getting some good traction going to track down to the, against Pat Dakin, whose 3.82 wasn't quite quick enough. But he, Antron Brown, lost to eventual winner Spencer Massey when Massey's 3.81 to Brown's 4.52. And Massey, who won, had to face Doug Coletta, who wound up going from going through Karma Signs for, and then versus Sean Langdon, and that was a close one there, a 3.77 for Coletta, a 3.78 for Langdon, who's the defending champ. And then another tough battle with Steve Torrens, who beat Tony Schumacher in round two. Coletta had a 3.81 with a 3.23 mile an hour to Torrens' 3.83 now. Round two, three, and the finals were all run today. And I was hoping to get to watch it last night. And, of course, in ESPN's infinite wisdom, they ran it today. And believe it or not, they're airing it tonight. So if I'm telling you something you don't know when you're watching it, spoiler alert, you don't want to go through this. As we go to the funny car division, they did not run yesterday, so all the runs for Funny Car were done today. And number one qualifier through the weekend was Alexis DeJoria, who was looking to become the 100th woman winner. And she had a tough battle to go. She had to go through Tony Pendragon and then face fellow female Courtney Force in round two, who just happened to go all the way to the final for her shot at winning the 100th female winner Wally. That didn't sound right, but there's a Wally out there for the 100th female winner, and that was had a chance to be settled today. But Courtney's round in the final was her teammate, Robert Height, who's been on fire. And Height, who had a pretty slow run in round one with a 466, it was still good enough to beat Bob Bodie, who's 771. Didn't have the chance, you know, for smoking the tires, so you lose all that traction, and you're going to get smoked by Rob Height. But then Rob Height had a 405 in round two versus Tim Wilkerson, who wound up beating Rob Height's boss in round one, John Force, who had a 978. So he wasn't getting traction. Wilkerson didn't get traction either because he had a 5.75 ET, but he was able to pedal it a little better, make it to round two. But again, he lost traction versus Height with his 958, Height's 405. And you run 4.0s in a funny car, you're pretty much guaranteed to move on to the next run. And round three was versus Ron Capps. Capps, good run at a 4.12, but not good enough because Rob Height had a 4.07. Then that set the stage for the first female win, and Rob Height was going to have none of that going up against his teammate. Points are involved here. Courtney turned a 4.11 at 316 mile an hour, but it was no match for Rob Height's 4.04 with a 9 at 315. 0.72 reaction time. Height got out of the tree a little quicker and was able to take the Wally there. So Top Fuel Wally, no female winner there. Funny Car, no female winner there. And which brings us down to Pro Stock. It was Erica Enders' turn. She was would have been the first one because what they reversed the order for the finals. The Pro Stock cars go first, then the Funny Cars, and then the Top Fuel Dragsters go last. So, but Erica Enders had a not-so-good day. She wound up only winning two rounds. She was the number one qualifier, so she got bonus points for that. Had low ET of the weekend with a 6.49, but she lost round two to Jed Coughlin, and Coughlin went up against Jason Lyne for round three and took that, and wound up going up against Greg Anderson for the finals and took home the Wally there. Anderson, of course, his second race back from heart surgery is showing that he's a lot better and able to go to distance, but fell a little short to Jay Coughlin. So the 100 female win trophy is still up for grabs. So they go on to Kansas, so for a chance to rack it up then. As for the point standings, let's see how this looks, if I got the right one. Antron Brown is leading the Top Fuel points with a 37-point lead over Doug Kalita. And Funny Car, it's Rob Height with a 122-point lead over John Force and a 178-point lead over Alexis DeJoria. Now, if you remember, Alexis beat Rob Hike twice. But he's wound up, he beat her twice, too, once in the four wides at Z-Max in Charlotte, and then a couple weeks back. So going to come down to see if Rob can go for his second championship this year as we get to the countdown. But he's got to hold off his boss, John Forson, with 122 points back. John's got to do a little bit better because he started off on top of the thing. But he's second in points. Fajori is third. She can make up some ground, but she's got to go some rounds. And if she keeps qualifying number one, she'll get some bonus points there. In the pro stock round, Erica Enders has a 70-point lead over her buddy Alan Johnson. Falling a little short, only winning one round this week, but she did gain some points being the number one qualifier. So that takes care of the NHRA. As we go to the nationwide race, this one was out at Iowa Speedway. Sam Hornish filling in for Kyle Busch wound up taking the checkered flag over Ryan Blaney, who was filling in for whoever's driving the 22 for Team Penske any this given week. And this usually it's Brad Keselowski, sometimes it's Joey Logano. This time it was Ryan Blaney. And Reagan Smith came in third. Chase Elliott, nice run for him, fourth place. Elliott Sadler was fifth. Brian Scott was sixth. Michael McDonald, seventh. Michael McDowell, excuse me. I keep saying McDonald. Eighth, seventh. Ty Dillon, eighth. Trevor Bain, ninth. Landon Castle, tenth. That race took 2 hours, 4 minutes. That was run Sunday afternoon. Average speed, 105. Margin of victory, 0.796 seconds. There were five cautions for 31 laps, nine lead changes amongst three drivers. So Sam Hornish taking the win after leaving Team Penske following his second place finish in the standings last year, which I was kind of bummed. He came on the show a lot, and every time he did it, he'd always have good runs after that, and just fell a little short of his championship goal, leaving Team Penske and signing with Joe Gibbs Racing this year to run seven races in the Nationwide Series in the 54 car. So that's Kyle Busch's ride when he's not in it. So which is basically a run for owner's points. And that battle last year came down between Team Penske and Team Gibbs, with Penske winning it because of the 22 car, which was driven by Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, A.J. Allmendinger on the road courses. I mean, it was whoever they put in that car had a setup and pretty much won every time they were in it or finished good enough to get the owner's points to win there. Now, as far as the championship standings go, Chase Elliott leads the Nationwide Series points. He's got a 2-point lead over Elliott Sadler and Reagan Smith, his teammate. Ty Dillon is in fourth place with 35 back. Trevor Bain is 36 back. Sixth is Brian Scott, who's 64 back. Of course, Brian Scott going to Childress Racing from Gibbs Racing, taking over for Sadler, who went from Childress Racing to Gibbs Racing. Did I say the other one? Okay. Scott went from Gibbs to Childress. Sadler went from Childress to Gibbs. They apparently swapped drivers, of course, car numbers. Ryan Scott's in the number 2 car. Elliott Sadler's in the number 11 car. Last year was the other way around. Brendan Gaughan, he's 97 back. 8th is James Buescher, 110 back. And 9th is Chris Buescher. He's 119 back. And rounding out the top 10 in Nationwide is Landon Castle. He's 121 back. Now, Castle's driving for a team that, I don't know, whose team is he driving for? Let me see. Do I got owner's points here? No. Maybe. Yeah, we do. Now, in the owner's points trophy run for the Nationwide Series, the car entered for that, the 54. So, the 54 car for J.D. Gibbs leads the owner's points over the 22 car for Roger Penske. The 5 car is listed for Rick Hendrick. That's 3rd in owner's points. And the 9 car, Dale Jr. is listed as the owner. That's Chase Elliott's car. Kelly Earnhardt Miller, who's Dale Jr.'s sister, is listed as the owner of the 7 car, she's in 6th. J.D. Gibbs is in 5th with the 11 car, and that's Elliott Sadler's. I'm trying to match the numbers there and with whose car it is to see where they're at. So the owner's trophy right now is led by Gibbs. The driver's championship points are led by Chase Elliott. And it gets confusing towards the end. Of course, the Sprint Cup Series points were on hold. Nothing's changed this week with the All-Star race. So when we pick up action again next Sunday night in Charlotte, we'll see what happens. And then they go from 600 miles at Charlotte to another tough track the week after at Dover. Of course, my old stomping grounds, Dover. I miss it dearly, but there's not much we could do about it because I'm here with y'all instead of on my old station. I'm not sure if they wanted to send me there, I can go. As far as audio goes, we have some audio from Jamie McMurray, who did take home the $1 million prize at Charlotte. And here's what Jamie had to say. Of course, he's joined by crew chief Keith Rodden and team owners Chip Ganassi and Felix Sabatis.
I got some dye.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and hear from the car owners from tonight's 30th annual NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race, won by Jamie McMurray, who drove the number 1 Bass Pro Chevrolet to victory in the Sprint All-Star Race. And that's Chip Ganassi Racing with Felix Sabatis. Congratulations to both of you guys. It's your first Sprint All-Star win, Chip, and that's got to be a big deal for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Felix, congratulations to you as well.
Thank you.
Chip, what's it mean to win the Sprint All-Star Race? And certainly the way that your race team has been performing this year, been very, very impressive. And we know how good Jamie McMurray here is here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Just talk about what this means to your race team.
Well, thanks. I think, first of all, you know, the fact that it's the home race for everybody here in the backyard, you know, this and the, you know, obviously Memorial Day and in the fall, you know, these races mean a lot more when they're in their backyard. I guess everybody gets to see them. And your peer group, your friends, your wives, your girlfriends, and your families. And so I think it adds a little something special to it. I mean, I think Jamie likes this place. Number two, I think he's got a little nose for the front. You know, when he gets a little sniff of the front there, he kind of gets calm all of a sudden and settles down. He seems to like it at the front, you know, when he's in the, you know, we like to, I think Keith made some great calls tonight. You know, I think the call was really made, I want to say, in segment two. You know, the call was made in segment two that I think enabled him to win the race. You know, to be there at the end in the mix at the front, obviously. I think you saw some great racing with Carl Edwards and he, with Kevin and Jamie. Just really, really proud of the team. Really proud of the people that have hung in there with us. Bass Pro Shops, obviously, tonight. Obviously, Cessna, McDonald's, Target. The people that have been with us for lots of years. And really proud to bring them a victory. And it means something here. A little, you know, there's something a little special about the All-Star race, too, I think. You know, nobody's out there points racing. It's, you know, it's hammered down there with 10 to go. So I think we saw a special kind of racing tonight, and we're all very lucky to see that.
Thank you, Chip. And, Felix, certainly you know how special it is racing here at Charlotte. And what this can mean for the team as we even look ahead to next weekend. But just what's the significance of the win here tonight for you guys?
Well, you know, he puts us in an elite group, a very elite group that won this race in the past. You look at the past winners, and you're like, who is racing? And you know, we've come close to winning this before, but close doesn't count when it comes to All-Star race. As far as I'm concerned, if you finish second, you're the first loser in the All-Star race. You got to win the race. And we brought a new mascot with us today, and a new team mascot, Coach Rivera and his wife Stephanie. You know, they set a pit box with us, and by God, we won the race. So,
good to have you here, Coach.
So what we're trying to see is the NFL would change the schedule so they can play on Saturday, so he can come to the races with us on Sundays. I don't know if we could get it done or not, but thanks to Ron and Stephanie for being here.
Well, that is great to have him here, Coach. Certainly appreciate you being here tonight. Great season. Let's hear now from questions from either Chip or Felix. If you have one, raise your hand. And let's start back here. Kelly's got one.
For both Chip or Felix or whoever wants to answer, you've been through a lot with Jamie, and he's now delivered you a Daytona 500, a Brickyard, and an All-Star race. How much does he mean to you both personally? And how long are you going to keep him around so you can go chase a championship?
Well, that's true. He... You know, he said to me in Victory Lane tonight, he said, we've won a lot of great races together, haven't we? I said, yes, we have. And, you know, it was kind of special for him to think of that as well because, you know, he's that kind of guy. He understands he understands what it takes to be in this sport and be a driver. And, you know, your immediate brother misses a lot of times what it really takes to be in the sport week in and week out, you know, with a family, with the demands that are put on these athletes today in any top level sport. It can be trying at times and, you know, in the ups and downs and the mental side of the sport can be very difficult. I think Jamie has shown great resilience over the years to hang in there and perform at a high level when the opportunity presents itself, and he did that here tonight. And
There's team owner Chip Ganassi talking about Jamie's performance, winning the All-Star race, and I don't know if he has a little bit better luck between him and Juan Pablo Montoya, but Montoya is no longer around, and Kyle Larson is now driving the 42 car, and the young rookie there has got a chance to make something of himself, and as long as he don't wreck cars, he should be in that seat for a bit too, but it's whether he can win or not at that level. A lot of people saying he's the real deal. He's looking like it. He does have a nationwide win this year, but again, he's not running for nationwide points like he did last year, so we'll just have to wait and see. And if McMurray can get in, get a win this year in a points race and get in that chase, who knows, maybe he can make something happen. Do I foresee it happening? No. And the way they had the audio set up, I couldn't itemize and pull clips from that without major press conferences. That's why I bugged out of it earlier. I was looking for the drivers like I do every other week, but they decided to throw the owners a bone there. Now, as far as there was also the Truck Series race, which was Friday night. Wait, that's the Kansas Speedway race. That was Kyle Busch had won that. That was last weekend, I think. No, ain't night. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. So and Kyle Busch had dominated in that one. That was last Friday night, not the Friday night before that. Anyway, the Truck Series, I thought, did run at Charlotte, but I don't see it listed. Or maybe they're off. Let me check the schedule. I could have swore there was a truck race this week. Yes. The 16th, last Friday. So, those stats. Kyle Busch did wind up winning the Truck Series race. And that was at Charlotte on Friday, and then Saturday. And they also ran the I'm not showing Truck Series, so they didn't send me no stats. Okay, stats, here we go. I'm going to give you the Truck Series rundown. There it is. Kyle Busch wound up winning that one in a dominant fashion, of course. Led two times for 130 of the 134 laps. If you didn't see it, you didn't miss it. Matt Kraft didn't finish second. The race was an hour and 59 minutes long, just a little under 2 hours. There were two lead changes amongst two drivers. Believe it or not, the only other lap leader for four laps, Joe Nemechek. There were nine cautions for 47 laps. The average speed, 100 miles an hour. Margin of victory under yellow. So caution, last caution came out on the white flag. So they threw that, and it ended up under yellow. Once you take the white flag and the yellow comes out, the race ends. No green-white checker set up. If it happened two laps before, then a different story. They had three attempts, but not. Crafton was second. Brad Keselowski third. John West Townley was fourth. Fifth was Timothy Peters. Sixth, Johnny Sauter. Seventh, Austin Dillon. Eighth, Ben Kennedy. Ninth, Herman Quiroga. Justin Laughlin was 10th. Jennifer Jo Cobb, a good run for her. 16th. So a 16th here and a 13th in Kansas. Two top 20s. She's actually got a truck that's running pretty decent these past couple weeks. TJ Bell, 18th. Maybe we get him back on. He's a good friend of the show. I'll see if we can get him on next week. As far as the points go, Matt Crafton lead the points. Timothy Peters is second. Herman Quiroga is third. Fourth, Johnny Sauter. Now we're looking at a 19-point difference from first to fourth. Ron Hornaday Jr. is fifth with 25 back. Sixth, Ben Kennedy, 30 back. Seventh, John West Townley. That's 35 back. Jeff Burton is 8-35 back, so we have a tie there. Ryan Blaney is ninth, 39 back, and Darryl Bubba Wallace is 10th. He's 54 back. So that's your top 10 in Truck Series points. And as far as let's take a look at our picks for the Indy 500 and the Coke 600. And for the Coke 600 this week, it should be pretty interesting. A lot of good names up at the top. Who do I think is going to do it? Now, the guy, you see, Harvick won this race last year, but then he was driving for Childress. Kurt Busch was third. He drove for Furniture Row. That's Truex's car. So I'm going to have to go outside the realm. If I go by car makes, I'm looking at Toyotas and Chevys. The only Ford in the top 10 was Joey Logano. Nobody else in the top 10 is with the same team except for Casey Kane and Denny Hamlin. I don't know if Hamlin has enough to go the distance in this race. It's going to be a tough one to call. But let's see, who do we got? I'm thinking, I don't think Jamie McMurray's going to have it, even though he won the All-Star race. Would he, does he have a shot to add the other crown jewel in the on the mantle? He's got the Brickyard 400, he's got the Daytona 500. I don't think he has the Coke 600 yet. And the other original crown jewel, the Southern 500. Let's see. It's going to be a tough one to pick. You know what? I think I'm going to pick, I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson. This is a track. You know what? I'm not going to go with Jimmy Johnson. I think he's got a better shot to win the following week at Dover. So I'm going to go out on a limb. Joey Logano. He's better in that Ford this year. It's a better running car this year. Kurt Busch is in a different team, and he's running 1,100 miles. He should be spent by the end of that one. So if he does finish in the top 10, I'll be surprised. But I'll go with Joey Logano. Now, as far as the Indy 500, that's anybody's call. Who do I want to see there? I don't know. I'd like to see Kurt Busch do it, but I don't think he's going to. Let me go back to the starting lineup. Take a quick glance. You know who's due to win that? I'll go out on a limb and say Juan Pablo Montoya for the Indy 500. How's that grab you? Montoya for the 500, Logano for the 600. Well, that's our show for tonight. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see if we could have a couple guests on or some guests for next week. It's Memorial Day, so a lot of people are going to be partying, but we'll try. Anyway, I'm Vince Bonfigli. Thanks for joining us. Good night and good racing.